Well, good morning, New Life Church. It's so good to be here with you. And I wanted to ask you a question I ask every week. Are you ready for the Word of God? Amen. Although I'm not there with you, if you feel like saying amen or hallelujah or give somebody a high five, I don't mind. I'm here with you in the spirit, okay? Well, today we're continuing our series that's called Reroute. We're talking about people who make mistakes and take the wrong turns on the road of life, and God who wants to reroute, redirect, and get us back on the road to life, an abundant life. Last week, I talked to you about marriage. This week, I'm going to talk to you about sex. I'm kind of glad I'm not personally here with you today, because this is kind of an awkward message for me to preach. But I think you're going to enjoy it. In this sermon, I just want to warn you, don't expect any stories from Pastor Alex's and Pastor Tanya's personal life. Tanya said to me, you're not using any personal stories on this message. So she drew a line. So no personal stories. We're going directly to the Word of God. And you know what? Bible has so much to say about sex. But when it comes to church and history of the church, church kind of wants to avoid that subject. Everybody else is talking about it. Everybody else is doing it. Everybody else is thinking about it. But when it comes to church, we ignore it. Feels awkward, but not to the Bible. Because when we look at the Bible, it talks a lot about sex. I want you to open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 5, verse 18 and 19. And let's read this together. Let your fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of your youth. As a loving deer and graceful doe, let her breasts satisfy you at all times, and always be enraptured. That word enraptured means intoxicated. And always be intoxicated with her love. Look at verse 18 again. Let your fountain be blessed. You know what it's talking about? It's talking about sex. God says, let your sex be blessed. Rejoice with the wife of your youth when you're having sex. It's okay. Go for it, man. Enjoy your wife. Enjoy her body. God is all for sex. And Bible has so many scriptures talk to us about sex. I want to give you 5 points that I prepared today. And point number one is that sex is sacred. Sex is sacred. Sex is a God idea and not a human idea. Hugh Hefner didn't come up and didn't invent sex. Charlie Sheen didn't come up or invent sex. When Adam and Eve consummated their marriage, they didn't surprise God. They didn't run under a tree, discovered sex, was so blown away, came back running and said, God, we discovered something new. You don't know about it. Only we know about it. No, they didn't discover anything new. They didn't surprise God when they had intimate relationship when they got married. Sex doesn't belong to the world. Sex doesn't belong to Hollywood, to porn industry. Sex doesn't belong to Satan. Sex is a good thing, and it's a God idea. God is a creator of sex. He designed it, and he said that it was good. Sex is not sinful. Sex is not dirty. Sex is not gross. Sex is a gift of God. Some of you maybe have been through some traumatic experience, maybe as a child, and there's a lot of people in our world that's been molested, that's been sexually abused, and you're thinking sex is gross, and you have a warped understanding of sex because of what somebody has done to you. But listen to me, God is a creator of sex, and sex is a good thing. Did you know that God is so proud of this beautiful and sacred act that's called sex, that he uses sex to poetically symbolize the union between Jesus Christ and his bride, the church? To me, in the Bible, it seems that sex is to marriage what worship is for the life of faith. There's so many analogies in the Bible about sex and how God uses it to talk to his people. He said, you're adulterous nation, when God talks to Israel, you have abandoned your lover and you went after another gods. And he uses that sexual analogy. Just like in marriage, husband and wife are intimately joined together and two become one. Christ and his church is joined together, and God uses this sex act as a symbol. God uses sex as a symbol for a relationship between Jesus Christ and his church. Paul writes this. He says, he who joins himself to a prostitute becomes one with her. But he who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. How do you join with a prostitute? You don't just hold hands. You have sex. And God says, he who joins to a prostitute becomes one with her. He who joins sexually with a prostitute becomes one with her. But he who joins with the Lord becomes one with him. Look at the symbology in this area. It's powerful. God created sex for intimacy, pleasure, and procreation. Babies. Satan, however, takes a powerful gift of God and perverts it and uses it as a weapon to hurt, to cause pain, and to destroy children of God, you and me. So much hurt has been caused because sex was used improperly. That's point number one. Point number two, sex is not just physical. Hollywood and secular media wants you to believe that sex is only physical thing. It's like shaking hands. It's like giving somebody a hug. It's just sex. It doesn't have to mean anything. Let's go do it. Let's hook up on a spring break. Let's hook up in a bar. Let's check up with a coworker and go ahead and live a normal life. It doesn't mean anything. Just human need. But sex does mean a whole lot more than we like to admit. Sex has been misused, abused, and distorted by our confused culture. And there are so many people are suffering because of it. If it's just physical, let me just reason with you a second. If it's just physical, then why is it causing so many people so much pain? Did you know that in many cases, it's easier to get over physical abuse than sexual abuse? A woman will report physical abuse way faster, way before she will ever report sexual abuse like rape. Why is that if sex is just physical? So what if some sleazy old man touched you when you were a child? Get over it. Sex is just physical. It doesn't mean anything. Well, tell that to the person who's been molested and they're having so many problems through their teenage years and maybe even as adults and they don't know what's going on. And when they finally discover in their 30s what happened to them when they were 6 or 10 or 8, tell me sex is just physical. People get over physical abuse way faster than they get over sexual abuse. When a person comes to me and says, Pastor, I have to tell you something in private. I haven't told this to anybody. You know that I already know that most likely 99% it's about some sexual abuse, some sexual misuse that happened in their life. It's interesting how people don't just come to me and say, Pastor, you know, I was in the mall parking lot and I was opening a door and I accidentally hit the next car to me and I didn't leave a note. I have to tell you this. People don't come for that. I actually never heard of anybody say that to me. But it's always about some sexual misuse. Why is it if sex is just sex, it's just physical, then why is it when a man blows a paycheck on something stupid, a wife will forgive him right away. But when he goes and sleeps with his secretary or she goes and sleeps with her boyfriend, friend or something like that. Why is it so hard to put the marriage back together? Why does it cause so much insecurity, mistrust, pain and suffering in that marriage? And usually many times it destroys a marriage. If sex is just physical and he swears and she swears, it doesn't mean anything, honey. I was just in the moment of passion and she was there and I fell into weakness. If it's just physical, then why is it causing people so much pain? Because sex is not just physical. If it's physical, then why are so many people, hundreds and thousands of people, are leaving church, especially young boys, when they discover sex, and girls too, when they discover pornography, when they start being sexually active? One of the biggest causes why young people leave the church, sex. If it's just physical, if it doesn't mean anything, why do you feel so guilty? Why do you feel so condemned? Why do you feel like you can't come to church anymore? You feel like everybody's going to look at you and everybody's going to know, when no one knows, just you and God, because you know that God knows. Listen to me. Sex could be the source of great blessing in your life, or it could be the source of much pain. Paul is writing to Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. He says this, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does outside the body, comma, but he who commits sexual immorality sin against his own body. Why does sex cause so much pain? Because it's a sin against your own body. It goes deeper. It goes deeper than we like to admit. Intuitively, we know this. We just want to ignore it, but we know how powerful sex is. It's not just sex. Paul says all the sins a man commits are not against his body, but when a man sins sexually, he gives a category of his own. Now, let me explain to you what this means. It doesn't mean that if you sin sexually, that God will not forgive you. It doesn't mean that it's gonna be some greater sin. What it means is it causes more harm, deeper pain, if it's done out of the context of God's design. So Paul says, flee. Don't fight it. Flee sexual immorality. I imagine David, he was walking on the top of the roof of his castle, and he saw a woman bathing named Bathsheba. And you know what? I don't think David just said, oh, I'm going to go for it and have sex with her and commit adultery and start the chain of events that cannot be stopped, chain of consequences. He probably tried to fight it. He started saying, I'm not looking, I'm just peeking. And before you know it, he lost that battle, and the consequences were bad. And so wisdom, God loves people, and he doesn't want us to get into the ditch with our sexuality. He says, flee it. Don't fight it, run it. Don't sit there on your computer thinking, I can beat this. It don't mean anything. I can watch this and it's not going to affect me. No, run away. Don't fight it. Run away. Sex is not just physical. It's emotional. You know, Corinthians, and this is the letter that Paul's writing to Corinthians, they received the Lord. But in their culture, the way they worship God in their pagan temples, they would go and bring their offering, bring their money or whatever gift they had, and they would have sex with a prostitute. And they said, it's only physical, don't mean anything. I got needs and she's there to fulfill it. What's the problem? And Paul says this in chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? The word joined has a big meaning. That's when husband and wife gets married and they have sex. And that's what joins them. That's what glues them together. And so Corinthian man would say, Corinthian churchgoer would say, Paul, what are you talking about? I'm not joined with anybody. It's just sex. And listen to what Paul says. Do you not know that he who joined, who has sex with a harlot, becomes one body with her? He becomes one with her and with all the people she's been with. For the two, Bible says, shall become one. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Notice symbology again, the relationship with Christ. He says, don't get joined with a harlot because you become one with her. Join yourself to the Lord and become one with him. Point number three, God created sex for marriage. Proverbs 5:18. Let's get back to Proverbs again. God created sex for marriage. We read this scripture in the beginning of this message. It says this, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. As a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love. And that word is intoxicated. Always be intoxicated with her love. Did you know that statistically, married people get more enjoyment out of sex married people have deeper sex, has more meaning to it than those who are shacking up. God says in marriage, God says sex is for marriage. And in marriage, have lots of it. Enjoy your spouse. Enjoy each other's body. Have passionate sex. Give it all you have. And some of you have a question. But why just in marriage? Why? Why is it only for marriage? Why can single people have? Well, go to the previous point. It's not just sex, my friend. So why in marriage? Because it's the safest and most secure place to enjoy this fragile and powerful gift of God. Why in marriage? Because in marriage is the safest and most secure place to enjoy this fragile and powerful gift of God. Let me ask you a question. If you had $5,000 cash, would you just let it lay on the top of the roof of your car at the mall? Of course you wouldn't. That's valuable. You had to put your sweat and hard work, time and hard work to get that money, to earn that money. You would put it in a safe place, in a bank, because it's the safest place to be. If you had expensive jewelry, like diamonds, real diamonds, diamond earrings, necklace, ring, would you just let neighborhood kids play with it in some sand playground? Of course you wouldn't. Why not? Because those things are valuable and you would put them in a safe and protective way so it wouldn't get lost. Do you just put your personal information for everybody to take? No, you buy LifeLock or something like that to protect your passwords, to protect that information. Why? Because it's very important to you. God, when He designed sex, He said it's fragile and it's powerful. You can't just give it to everybody. He said the most safest and secure place where this gift can be used is in committed, covenant, loving relationship between husband and wife. So why not just give it to everybody? Because it's fragile and they can misuse it and abuse it and throw it out. God says sex is private, intimate, fragile, sacred, and powerful. And it needs to be protected by the covenant called marriage. Sex was created for marriage. And listen, married couples, God wants you to have a lot of it. How do I know this? Well, because 1 Corinthians 7, 3-5, NLT version, says this. The husband should fulfill his wife's sexual needs. Whoa. And the wife should fulfill her husband's needs. The wife gives authority over her body to her husband. And the husband gives authority over his body to his wife. Wow, that's some deep stuff, man. Do not deprive each other of sexual relationships. So Bible says, in marriage, have lots of sex. It's okay. Well, isn't pleasure bad? No. Outside of marriage, it could cause you pain. In marriage, it could be worship. And so it says, do not deprive each other of sexual relationships unless you both agree to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time so you can give yourselves more completely to prayer. Afterward, you should come together again so that Satan wouldn't be able to tempt you because of your lack of self-control. So God says, in the Bible, have lots of sex. Fulfill sexual needs of your spouse. Go for it. God is not against pleasure. He just says, I have the right timing for it. And that's called marriage, and marriage for life. Point number four, sex is a gift of God. Let me give you six ways sex is a gift of God. I got this from Mark Driscoll, a pastor on the West Coast, and he says this. Number one, how is sex a gift of God? Sex brings pleasure. Sex is for pleasure. God wanted you to have pleasure. Did you know that Book of Solomon doesn't mention kids? It talks about sex. If you want to read a Book of Solomon, especially you married people, you might learn something. It's hidden with symbology, but if you read it in NLT or some other easier translation, you'll be surprised what the Bible says about sex. So sex is about pleasure. God wants you to have pleasure. You know, there is certain pleasure when we worship Jesus. Yeah. Number two, another gift that God gives us through sex is children. What a blessing. We got three kids. What a blessing, our kids. You know, you thought that, you know, sex was a big blessing. But boy, children are such an amazing blessing. God gave you to enjoy. God gave you for a limited time, 18 years and then 20 years. And then they're His. They're not yours. Although you always care. Although you always love, but they're His. Number three, third gift of God from sex is knowledge. Genesis 4:1. You get to know your spouse like no one is allowed to get to know your spouse. You get to see her naked, and she gets to see you naked. Nobody else is allowed to see what you get to see and feel what you get to feel. You get to know, and I'm not going to take it any further, but you get to know your spouse. Like no one knows your spouse. Number five, sex is for comfort. 2 Samuel 12:24, there was a baby that died. And you know what? King David just didn't have the right words to comfort his wife. King David, the words just wouldn't do it. So they had sex. They comforted each other in a way that words wouldn't do it. So sex is for comfort. Number six, sex is for oneness. Something happens when two people have sex. They become one. And even if you do it when it doesn't mean anything to you, you somehow are connected spiritually to that person. Physically, you're gone. You could be 2,000, 3,000, 6,000 miles away, but emotionally, somehow you're connected. God wants you to be one with one person, and that's your spouse. Sex is for oneness. Oneness, one last name. One bedroom, one house, one checking account, one. Point number five, sex in marriage glorifies God. What? Did you know the Bible says that whatever you do, do it for the glory of God? That's not just praying. That's not just singing. That's not just working. That's not just drinking apple juice. It's also sex. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Did you know that sex can glorify God or sex can glorify something else? In many different religions, in many cultures, sex was used as a way to worship. They would go and have sex with prostitutes and different people, and they said, that's how we worship. That's how we know it's man-made religion. Whenever there's a cult and a guy wants to trick people, one way you know that it's a cult is that he starts saying that sex is the way we worship with different people so he can trick more women and make them a thing, not the one. Make them a tool for his pleasure. That's how you know that sex in those cases are man-made religion. But God says sex is for one man and one woman. And so my question to you today is that you're going to worship. Are you going to glorify God with your sex life, or are you going to glorify the devil in the world with your sex life? Are you going to be obedient God's plan for your life and for your sex, or are you going to be obedient to the world's vision for your sexuality? That's your choice today. The greatest thing is this, that when we were unbelievers, we did life the way unbelievers do life, and we got the results that unbelievers God. But when we became believers, when we trusted our life in Christ, He wants us to be obedient to His way of thinking, of His way of doing, and His way of living. And let me tell you, His way will never lead you to death. His way leads to life. Some of you will say, well, Pastor Alex, I was a man slut before I got saved. I was a woman slut before I got saved. I've had many partners. I've done many things that I'm not proud of. And I want to say this, that everything happened to you before you got saved, Bible says I washed it away. I don't remember it no more. I'm going to give you new virginity, new start. Some of you will say, Pastor, I've been saved and I've been having sex. What do I do? Can God forgive me? That's why I'm preaching this message. That's why God has given you this message. So you know better. Now, can He forgive you? Definitely. Does He love you? Definitely. Why do you think He brought you here today? So you can hear this tough, uncomfortable message because he loves you. And he says, I have a better plan for your life. I know better. Trust me. I created sex for your pleasure. I want you to get maximum pleasure out of it. Would you trust me? God didn't save us and then left us the way we are. He wants to transform your life. He wants to make it better. But you have to decide, God, I'm going to follow you. I'm not just going to be a believer. I'm going to be a follower. I'm going to obey your word. Ask him what he wants you to do for your sexuality. And he'll answer you through his word. I hope you enjoyed this message today. I hope it clarified some things. And there's so much more to say about sex from the Bible. But we're limited on time. I want you to be blessed. I want your family to be blessed. I want your life to be blessed. I want everything you do to be blessed. Jesus, thank you. Pray with me. Thank you for this word that you have spoken. Thank you for these 5 points that you gave to your people. Father, heal us. Heal our sexuality, because we all have broken sexualities. Heal our mind, Lord. Renew our mind with your word today. I know there was great resistance coming from hell against this message. But you wanted us to hear this. You want us to live a sanctified life for you. You came to give us life to the fullest, Father. And we just thank you, Lord, for you are a good God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.